ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 20, Text 1, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sri Shukaha Uvacha Balihi Evam Griha Patihi Kula Acharyena Bhashitaha Tushnim Bhutva Kshanam Rajan Uvacha Avahitaha Gurum Sri Shuka Uvacha Balire Vangrihapati Kulacharyena Bhashitaha Tushnim Bhutva Kshanam Rajan Uvachavahito Gurum Sri Shuka Uvacha Balirevam Grihapati Kulacharyena Bhashitaha Tushnim Bhutvakshanam Rajan Uvachavahito Gurum. Sri Shuka Uvacha Nirevam Grihapati Vacharyena Bhashitaha Tushnim Bhutva Nambhagam Uvacha Vahito Gurum
Sri Shuka Uvacha
Sri Shuka Uvacha
Balir Evam Grihapati
Balir Evam Grihapati
Kulacharyena Bhashitaha
Kulacharyena Bhashitaha Tushnim Bhutva Kshanam Rajan
Uvacha Vahito Gurum
Uvacha Vahito Gurum Some little, just one, some Hare Krishna, some little advice or suggestion, especially for the Gurukul boys who are learning Sanskrit. It's a good exercise to hear and repeat, rather than see the board and repeat. It's very simple Sanskrit. Most of the words you can understand without hearing the, without reading it or hearing the translation. So just listen and then repeat, and that will help to make the mind. It's a mental exercise, which is helpful for learning. And of course, that is the traditional way of learning Shastra, by being repeated and hearing, and then again say like this. So please, you can say. Sri Shuka Uvacha Balirevam Grihapati Kulacharyena Bhashitaha Tushnim Bhutvakshanam Rajan Uvacha vahito gurum also makes you attentive. That's the word. Thank you. It's easier to space out otherwise. Okay. Then? Shri Shuka Uvacha. Balirivam Grihapati. Kulacharyena Bhashitaha. Tushnim Bhutvakshanam Rajan. Uvacha Vahito Gurun. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Balire Vangriha Patir. Kulacharyena Bhashitaha. Tushnim Bhutvakshanam Rajan. Uvacha Vahito Gurum. Devis, goddesses, ladies, mothers. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Balirevam Grihapati. Kulacharyena Bhashitaha. Tushnim Bhutvakshanam Rajan. Uvacha Vahito Gurum. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Balirevam Grihapati. Kulacharyena Bhashitaha. Tushnim Bhutvakshanam Rajan. Uvacha Vahito Gurum. Shri Shukaha. Uvacha. Shri Shukdev Goswami said. Balihi. Bali Maharaj. Evam. Thus. That word is usually used to mean and. In this context, it's thus. Sanskrit students, please note. Griha Patihi. The master of the household affairs. Although guided by the priests. Kula Archaryena. By the family Acharya, or guide. It's significant that Srila Prabhupada uses the word Acharya or guide here, because not the word spiritual master, because Shukra is not a spiritual master, he's a family guide. Bhashitaha, being thus addressed. Tushnim. Anyone? What does that word mean? Comes in the Bhagavad Gita. Silent, yes. Where does that come? Uvacha tushnim babhuvava. Bhudva. Becoming. Kshanam. For a moment. Rajan. O king. Maharaj Parikshit. Giving context in case anyone might get confused that that it refers to Bali. Uvacha said. Avahitaha. After full deliberation. Gurum unto his spiritual master. Here the word is used, spiritual master. Translation, Sri Shukdev Goswami said, O King Parikshit, When Bali Maharaj was thus advised by his spiritual master, Shukracharya, his family priest, he remained silent for some time, and then after full deliberation, he replied to his spiritual master as follows. So I think you all know the context, that Bali has committed to give 3 steps of land to the dwarf Brahmana who had come into his presence, and Shukracharya has told Bali Maharaj not to do so. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks that Bali Maharaj remains silent at a critical point. You can just imagine, the Guru says, you do this, he's sitting there thinking about it. How could he disobey the instruction of Shukracharya, his spiritual master? It is the duty of such a sober personality as Bali Maharaj to abide by the orders of his spiritual master immediately, as his spiritual master had advised. But Bali Maharaj also considered that Shukracharya was no longer to be accepted as a spiritual master, for he had deviated from the duty of a spiritual master. According to Shastra, the duty of the Guru is to take the disciple back home, back to Godhead. If he is unable to do so and instead hinders the disciple in going back to Godhead, he should not be a Guru. Gurur nasasyat. One should not become a Guru if he cannot enable his disciple to advance in Krishna consciousness. The goal of life is to become a devotee of Lord Krishna, so that one may be freed from the bondage of material existence. Tyaktva dehaṃ punarjanma naiti mām iti sarjuna. The spiritual master helps the disciple attain this stage by developing Krishna consciousness. This clause could, linguistically, it could apply either to the spiritual master or to the disciple. So by himself becoming Krishna conscious, the spiritual master helps the disciple. And by helping the disciple become Krishna conscious, he helps him. Now Shukracharya had advised Bali Maharaj to deny the promise to Vamanadeva. Under the circumstances, therefore, Bali Maharaj thought that there would be no fault if he disobeyed the order of his spiritual master. He deliberated on this point. Should he refuse to accept the advice of his spiritual master, or should he independently do everything to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He took some time, therefore it is said, Tushnim Bhutva Kshanam Rajan Uvacha Vahito Gurum. After deliberating on this point, he decided that Lord Vishnu should be pleased in all circumstances, even at the risk of ignoring the Guru's advice to the contrary. Anyone who is supposed to be a Guru but who goes against the principle of Vishnu Bhakti cannot be accepted as a Guru. If one has falsely accepted such a Guru, one should reject him. One should reject him. I'll say that again. Someone coughed. It's an important point. Such a Guru is described as follows. Gurur apyavaliptasya karya karyam ajanatah utpatta pratipannasya parityago vidhiyate. Srila Jiva Goswami has advised that such a useless guru, a family priest acting as a guru, should be given up and that the proper bona fide guru should be accepted. Shat karma nipuno vipro mantra tantra visharadaha A Vaishnavo Gurur Nasyad Vaishnava Svapacho Guruhu. A scholarly Brahmana expert in all subjects of Vedic knowledge is unfit to become a spiritual master without being a Vaishnava. But if a person born in a family of a lower caste is a Vaishnava, he can become a spiritual master. Padma Purana. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shreshtam Manamapi Shachiputra Matra Swarupam Rupam Tasya Grajam Urupurim Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tamnatos Vandeham Shri Guru Shriyatav Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajanatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Interesting sentence in this purport. He, Bali Maharaj, deliberated on this point. Should he refuse to accept the advice of his spiritual master, or should he independently do everything to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Actually, these two things amount to the same thing. So it's not really an either-or situation, which suggests that Bali was... He knew what he had to do. The consequences were going to be tremendous, as will be seen. But he knew he had to disobey his spiritual master and independently do everything to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this isn't going to be a talk about how everyone should disobey their spiritual master, because of course the basic principle is that one should obey the order of the spiritual master. There's much about this, many such statements in Shastra, but mostly they're not quoted that much because it's just an accepted principle within the Vedic culture. And anyway, it's meaningless to accept a guru if you don't obey him. But anyway, I will read some quotes from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This discussion took place when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Puri after his tour of South India. Shortly after his arrival, his godbrother, by the name of Govinda, arrived, and Govinda, who had been the personal servant of Ishwara Puri, who was the guru of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Govinda and others, Ishwara Puri, at the time of his passing, had ordered Govinda that you go and serve this Chaitanya. So Govinda came to do that. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought, well, how can I accept service from a godbrother? That's not proper. So the discussion was going on with Savabhaum Bhattacharya, who was vastly learned in Shastra. Bhatta kahe gurur agya hoi balavan, guru agya na longhiye shastra praman. Savabhaum Bhattacharya said, the order of the spiritual master is very strong and cannot be disobeyed. That is the injunction of the shastras, the revealed scriptures. Then Savabhaum Bhattacharya quoted from the Raghu Vansha, which is being accepted here as good as original Shastra. So here's what he said. Sasushruvan matari bhargavena pitur niyogat prahritang dvishadvat pratyagrid agrajashashanang tad agyagurunam hi avicharaniya. So that's the conclusion. Agya guru nanghi avicharaniya. being ordered by his father, Parashuram killed his mother, Renuka, just as if she were an enemy. When Lakshman, the younger brother of Lord Ramachandra, heard of this, he immediately engaged himself in the service of his elder brother and accepted his orders. The order of the spiritual master must be obeyed without consideration. Agya guru nam hi avicharaniya. That's the point being made. And now there's a quote from Ramayana with the same not considering. One should follow the order. Nirvicharam gurur agya maya karya mahatmanaha shriyohi evam bhavatyascha mama chaiva visheshataha. Lord Rama said to Sita, the order of a great personality like the father must be executed without consideration because there is good fortune in such an order for both of us. In particular, there is good fortune for me. And of course, we all know very well the crucial statement, the last verse in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, yasya deve parabhaktya yata deve tata guro tasyaite pratitahyata prakashante mahatmanaha. The person who has full faith or devotion, highest devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and similar devotion to the Guru, to such a person all the imports of Vedic literature are revealed. Now that's a really astonishing example. Kill your mother. Now that should be disobeyed, isn't it? I'm not contemplating doing so, but just take it as a matter of example. If I told one of you to kill your mother, I certainly hope you wouldn't do it. I'm not going to tell you, and I hope you wouldn't do it. But Parashuram, he did it. Now, here it's, in the verse we quoted, it said that the Guru's order should be followed without consideration. But actually, we find from the Bhagavatam where this is described that Parashuram did make some consideration. He thought that, my father, he must have some reason for doing this. And if I do this, he'll be pleased with me. And then, if he's pleased with me, I'll ask him to bring my mother back to life again without him remembering me killing her, and then everything will be okay. It's because he knew his father had the power to do that. So he did make some consideration, but it happened quickly, just like that. So Parashuram is such a person. He is among the Dashavatar. He's counted among the Kshatri. What is that? How does that verse go? Kshatriya Rudhiramaya Jagadapagata Papam Snapayasi Payasi Shamita Bhavatapam Keshava Dhritta Bhrigupati Rupa Jai Jagadisha Hare. Of course, he very much upheld this principle himself. And he expected his disciples to do so also. His disciple Karna, he taught Karna the fighting art, but Karna tricked him because Parashuram, being a brahmana, was only willing to teach other. He said, "I'll only teach brahmanas," and Karna said, "I'm a brahmana." He wasn't, and it came to the attention of Parashuram by the agency of Indra, who knew that Karna was going to be the archenemy of Arjuna, who was the son of Indra. So one time Karna was resting with his head on the lap of Karna, and Indra taking the form of some kind of insect that can bore into the body. He bored into the leg of Karna so that it was blood was coming out, and when the blood came out, that but Karna didn't say anything because he didn't want to. He didn't make any effort to remove the boring insect because he didn't want to disturb his guru, who was resting. But then the blood, some of the blood came on Parashuram, and that woke him. He saw what was going on, and then he understood, you're not a brahmana, because a brahmana couldn't tolerate such pain. Only a kshatriya can do so. Then he cursed Karna, that whatever I taught you, you'll forget it when you most need it. Which was, at the time of death, when Karna, he couldn't retaliate to Arjuna. So this verse which has been quoted in this purport, Gururapyavaliptasya karya karya majanataha utpanna pratipannasya parityago vidhiyate. This was spoken by Bhishma to Parashuram. It's another, to get to tell the whole story would take a long time. I'm not here to tell stories in particular. But Amba, she wanted to marry Bhishma. But Bhishma had vowed not to marry. Then his guru told him, so she went to Parashuram and said, can you tell him to marry me? And Parashuram told Bhishma to marry him. Bhishma said, forget it, I made a vow. And then Parashuram said, well, you have to follow your guru. And Bhishma said, guru rapyavaliptasya karya karya. One who's not properly acting as a guru is not fit to be a guru and should be given up. And Bhishma then fought with Parashuram. They're both very expert in fighting. Bhishma had been trained by Parashuram. So that was shocking to the guru, that the disciple could disobey him. But Bhishma establishes it is possible in some circumstances. Not in general. The general principle is to follow what the guru says. Otherwise, no meaning to accepting a guru. But if it's detected that the guru is saying something which really isn't proper, which is against the principles of Vishnu Bhakti, then he should be, parityago vidhiyate, then he should be given up. I was talking the last few days about disciples not following their vows. That is one kind of disobedience. And another is if one gets some specific order and doesn't follow. That happened quite early in Srila Prabhupada's preaching pastimes in the Western world. Actually, Srila Prabhupada had been in the West. He went to India because he was having some serious and prolonged illness, and he thought the climate of India and the Ayurvedic medicine would help him to recover. So he went there with Kirtanananda and gave Kirtanananda sannyas in India and told him, now you go to London and start something there. But Kirtanananda had no intention of doing so. Without informing Prabhupada, he went straight to New York. And it appears that he thought, now Prabhupada isn't coming back, and now I'm a sannyasi, and I'll take over the movement. And he wanted to introduce not wearing devotee clothes, and he wanted to. And fortunately, Brahmananda didn't stand up to this nonsense. But the point is that it's an example of Brahmananda and others didn't stand up to this nonsense. But it's an example of disciple deliberately not following the order of the guru for no good reason, and cheating him, misleading. And I personally have the experience of some disciples who have pretended to be sincere, but later it was seen that they were using me for their own ends. They bring people to be disciples, but then in course of time it's seen that they're actually not very, in fact, quite insincere, and can turn against you, and so many things. Varam eko guni putra, nacha murka shatayarapi. We learn from Srila Prabhupada, quoting Chanakya, better to have one good son than 100 fools. So the discussion is of disobeying or even rejecting the guru. Now, it's almost impossible to imagine any, if one has accepted a guru, it's in, one is supposed to do so intelligently. The guru is supposed to guide the disciple on the path of spiritual knowledge, so expected that one will be intelligent enough to be instructed. And it's expected that one will be intelligent enough to see or to understand who is capable to guide me. So it would seem almost impossible to imagine any situation in which the guru can be disobeyed or rejected. But there may be some rare occasions where it's proper to do so. In this case, Bali Maharaj hadn't, it wasn't really that he chose a guru, actually, I don't like that term, choose a guru. You can select who to approach, but it's not in your hands, because the guru can either accept or not accept. So Bali Maharaj, it was just fixed up that Shukra is the family priest, and that's it. He's already there. It's family line. And then Shukra had his sons, his son name. Anyone can remember? Kacha is one I was thinking of, who the Devayani wanted to marry. That's a whole big story also. Get into the Mahabharata. Well, Shanda and Armarka, we're going to say them, yeah, there also. Sometimes I refer to the, I have sometimes in my sarcasm referred to the Shanda and Armarka Gurukul, that some things may be run on in the name of Gurukul, but it's more like the Shanda and Armarka Gurukul. When the guru has his own personal agenda, he's using the disciple, or he doesn't know how to instruct properly, then for one's tad vijnanartham sagurum evabhigacchet, to get the knowledge of how to get free from this world of suffering, one should approach a guru. If one is not getting that knowledge, or if it's mixed up with some other personal desire of the guru, which he shouldn't have, then one should understand that one is in a very dangerous position, being guided by someone who's not fit to guide. One of the first disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he had left home as a young man to seek a guru, and he'd come to the shelter of a Baal and his wife. Some Baals actually have wives. Most of them just swap girls here and there. Maybe it was just a temporary wife. I don't know. Anyway, but he was going to visit Siddhanta Saraswati, who hadn't taken sannyas at the time. I think there was, who was that? Rohini Kumar Ghosh, I think. And then one night he had a dream that the guru and his wife had become a tiger and a tigress and were devouring him. So he got up in the night and went to Siddhanta Saraswati and never came back. So there may be some cases where it's proper to do so. A guru is a guru to the extent that he is sincere to benefit the disciple and is competent to do so. Simple definition. Without any personal agenda. To the extent that one is doing that, one can be considered a guru. So my father and mother are also considered guru because in almost all cases, they act for the benefit of the child. Without a personal motive, well, maybe he'll get older and look after me. But we have to see, so they're respected for that. But we have to see if they can actually guide one, to help one on the path to the highest goal of life. Srila Prabhupada quotes here just the first words of a verse, Guru Nasa Syat. And there's a whole list, isn't there? Guru Nasa Syat, Swadacha Swachana Nasa Syat, Pitana Sasyat, Na Patischa Sasyat. What's the next line? Janani Nasasyan. Then? Daivang Nasasyan, Na Patischa Sasyat, Na Mochiyadya Samupetamityam. Just don't take the position of a guru unless you can deliver someone from birth and death. So if one finds that he's not in the right hands, then it's time to move on. Bali Maharaj, his actual guru in the sense of spiritual guidance was Prahlad, his grandfather. They were all born in the families of demons. Sometimes people who seem to be like devotees, it's seen they're actually more like demons. And Bali Maharaj, who was an official demon, fully authorized king of the demons, not just any old demon, but he was the king of the demons. And he did his duty as a demon. He fought with the demigods. That's what you're supposed to do, right? And he actually conquered the heavenly planets, which they don't usually do. They usually get smashed down. And he got the strength to do so from following his guru. And the demigods were weak because they had not properly followed their guru. Indra had insulted his guru. So they became weak. So Bali Maharaj, how could he defy Shukra? Because he'd heard from Prahlad Maharaj, who had also supported Nrsimha when Nrsimha had come to kill his own father. He was cheering on Nrsimha, not Hiranyakashipu. So when Vamana appeared in the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj, Shukra could immediately understand. He could understand, oh, wait a minute, some of this is something wrong here. This must be Vishnu come to take everything away. So Shukra, acting for the benefit of his disciples and for the benefit of all the asuras, because he was the guru of all the asuras, he gave the proper advice. Don't give to this Vamana. He'll take everything away. He advised properly, according to asura buddhi, according to demoniac intelligence. It made sense. He gave good reasons also. Sarvasvam Vishnave Dattva. What's the next line? Murha. I can't remember it. But anyway, it's here in this, just before this. Then he said, if you give everything away to Vishnu, then how will you live? Makes sense, right? If you join this Hare Krishna movement, How will you live? People say up to the present time, but they're actually thinking, how will I live? Because I'm depending on you. So Shukra was thinking like that. I'm helping you, you're helping me. If you go away, then what will happen to me? If you join, what will happen? What will happen to me? They're also thinking like this. So he advised Bali to do something which was quite a serious thing. Having a Brahmin had come, he had offered him whatever he wanted. The Brahmana had told him what he wanted, and now he was going to refuse. That was a very heavy thing. That's maybe even more heavy than cutting off the head of your mother. But anyway, he said to him, and he offered good reason. You see, it's just in the verse before this. In flattering a woman to bring her under control, there's no harm to lie under such circumstances. In joking, in a marriage ceremony, in earning one's livelihood, when one's life is in danger, in protecting cows and Brahminical culture, or in protecting a person from an enemy's hand, falsity is never condemned. So he gave good reasons. But Bali, he wasn't convinced. Because he had already heard from Prahlad Maharaj, Atmanivedanam, Iti Pungsapita Vishnu Bhaktis Chainava Lakshana. The last, and Bali Maharaj was to become the exemplar of Atmanivedana, giving everything. The very word Bali means sacrifice of your life. Usually that's done without the consent of the living being who's to be offered. The goats don't come up and say, please offer me, but they're offered. And they're benefited by that. But Bali deliberated for a while, then he thought, I'm reading from Srila Prabhupada's purport. My Lord, saying to Shukra, my Lord, you can also see that all the material opulences of this world are certainly separated from their possessor at death. Therefore, if the Brahmana Vamana Devi is not satisfied by whatever gifts one has given, why not please him with the riches one is destined to lose at death? Now, it's a very good reply from Bali Maharaj. Anyway, I can't keep all this wealth. I'm going to lose it. So why not give it to this Brahmana and then I'll get much more benefit. So this exception is, there are so many things to learn from this. There are others also who disobeyed the order of their guru and very famous in this part of the world, at least among the Vaishnavas. It should become famous to everyone. Maybe it's better known now than it used to be a few years ago since the Ramanuja TV serial was made. Did it get up to the... They showed the whole thing, right? So they must have shown him disobeying his guru, that after 17 times walking up and down, the 18th time he was given the mantra and then told, don't say it to anyone. And the first thing he did was went and distributed it publicly to everyone. He didn't even see patra patra vichar nahi. He didn't even see who was qualified and who was didn't qualified. But he did so to better serve the purpose of his guru, to serve the purpose of Vishnu. The general rule at that time was, this shouldn't be distributed widely, but Ramanuja had come to this world to distribute the message of Vishnu. And by his empowerment, people who were actually not fit were lifted up, they were made fit. by his mercy. So he was able to do that. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, speaking in Calcutta to his disciples in a talk, he once revealed that his own guru, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji, had given him three instructions. Number one, not to make any disciples. He's talking to his disciples. Not to associate with anyone. And not to go to the world of Maya, which is Gaurakishore's way of saying Calcutta. He was saying it, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was saying Calcutta. Then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explained that I never made any disciples, he said. They are those who considered themselves disciples, they were actually his gurus, for by observing their ideal inclination for Hari Seva, his own tendency to serve increased. He did not associate with anyone. Association means to accept something from others, but he accepted only what was given by his Guru Maharaj. And then number three, he never went to Calcutta. He's sitting in Calcutta talking this. But he said, I only went to the Gauriya Math, which although apparently in Calcutta was actually Vaikuntha, beyond the influence of Kali. So this is not to be imitated, your guru told you this, but you're doing it. Well, you see, Ramanuja did, and for preaching, you can do anything. Once devotees asked Srila Prabhupada about that, and said, Srila Prabhupada said, you could, for preaching, you can even break the regulated principles. And Prabhupada said, but don't make an excuse of it. When Prabhupada was forcing Harikesh, you must go to Russia, and he was making so many excuses. And finally he said, there's nothing but meat to eat there. And Prabhupada told him, you eat meat, but you go and preach. And actually, there were other things to eat, even at that time. Not much, but there were non-meat foods that could be eaten. But Srila Prabhupada insisted that preaching is the highest principle. Now, Harikesh, if he had had to eat meat and done that on Prabhupada's order, that would be, for the sake of preaching, that would be much more beneficial to his spiritual advancement than if he had not gone and if he had remained in Vrindavan and taken only prasadam. Because the order of a Paramahamsa Vaishnava, the emissary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, with that comes its own protection. Prabhupada actually said once that I would rather die than eat meat. That actually happened in his childhood when one doctor had said, the only way this boy, he was so sick with fever, and the doctor said, you have to give him chicken soup. And of course the parents were not at all reliable, but he said that, well, otherwise your child will die. See the kind of things doctors say. So they was prepared and brought and then just came close to his face. He vomited and then the disease was finished. So he never took it at all. One more example. There are quite a few examples of highly exalted disciples disobeying or apparently displeasing their guru. Gauridas Pandit was worshipping the first ever deities of Gaur Nithai, but they weren't really deities at all. You can still go and see those deities, or you can present yourself in front of them so that they can see you at Kalna on the bank of the Ganga, just opposite to Shantipur. Gauridas, he had Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda in his home, and he didn't want to let them go. He said, you're here, you can stay here. I'll feed you nicely, we can have nice kirtan, and you just stay here. He said, no, we have to go. So then he was insisting, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, well, I tell you what, here's some neem wood and deities. He said, I don't want deities. I want you. So he said, here's the deity. You look and see. You choose whichever you want. And he couldn't work out which was which, because the deities are Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda. So after the passing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was going on with this worship. He had one disciple called Hridayananda, among other disciples. Hridayananda was the senior. He was put in charge. So just 1 year shortly before Gaura Purnima, Gauridas went out around to visit different disciples and left Hridayananda in charge of the ashram. But what was happening was just a few days left to Gaura Purnima, and then no festival was organized. And Hridayananda was thinking what to do. And when there are only 3 days left, he sent out invitations to all the regular visitors and devotees to come, and he arranged a festival. And when Gauridas came back just after that, and he told him, well, I already sent the invitations and everything, it's all under control. And Gauridas, he showed anger and said, oh, you're acting so independent. You are inviting. I'm supposed to invite, and you're inviting. Huh. So, you want to be so independent? All right, you send the invitations, let the people come, but you go and do your worship independently. You go away. Send him away. Rejected him. Apparently. So Hridayananda went and offered his obeisances and went just a short distance away to the edge of the Ganga. And shortly after that, a merchant coming in a boat saw this sadhu sitting under the tree on the bank of the Ganga and stopped and offered a big donation. So what did Hridayananda do? He brought it to Gauridas. Said, this person, get a donation, you offer it to your guru. So he brought it to the guru. Said, anyway, you take it. You do whatever you like with it. You go and make a festival there on the bank of the Ganga. You do what you like. You take the money. He was still angry with him. So Hridayananda took the money and arranged, his guru said, you go and do a festival there. So he did it. He arranged everything there. And when all the people started coming to the ashram, for the festival, Gauridas said, no, you go see him. He's doing the festival. He was in this angry mood. So they had the festival, and they were chanting, and it became very blissful, kirtan going on. It was so blissful that Gaur Nittai decided, they're sitting in the house of Gauridas Pandit, and saying, hey, all the action's over there. So they ran out of the house and joined the kirtan. Gauridas, what happened? The pujari came and told Gauridas, Gaur Nittai ran away. So Gauridas went with a stick to chase them back. These kind of things happened at that time. And when Gaur Nittai saw that Gauridas is coming with a stick to beat us, they hid in Hridayananda's heart. And Gauridas could see that. And then he embraced him and said, oh, you captured Gaur Nittai in your heart. Very good. And then he changed his name to Hriday Chaitanya, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in his heart. And they also remanifested themselves as the deities there. And you can still go and take darshan there. But like Bankei Bihari in Vrindavan, the curtains closed most of the time, and just quickly open it and again close because they're afraid they might run away again. So if you go there and do really ecstatic kirtan, you never know, Gaur Nittai might come. And anywhere they can come. Okay, Hare Krishna. On that happy note, I'll finish there. As we're talking about a very grave topic, disobeying the orders of the guru. Hridayananda apparently did so, or displeased his guru, but actually pleased him. it's really better not to take that risk unless you are really advanced. Well, I'll give one more example, just and then I'll finish. The Tamal Krishna Goswami. Oh, I'll say it later. Come tomorrow, please, if we're all still here. Hare Krishna. Yeah, I'll finish there. I had a piece of paper which I can't. Ah, yeah. I'd like to read this verse now, which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati used to read sometimes at the end, or speak, not read, like me, at the end of his talks. Parivadata jano yata tata va nano mukharo na vayang vicharayamaha. Hari rasa madira madati matta bhuvi vilutama nartama nirvishama. The translation of which goes something like that. That being we don't care what anyone says, being intoxicated by the wine of Hari Rasa, we will roll on the ground. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarubhyas chakripa sindhu vivacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnava. Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnava.